Canadians go to extra rounds. Former Golden Knight Tomas Tatar, the lefty cruising right wing. Down the middle, he picks, he scores! Fleury tried to spin around and reach back with his glove, but Tatar had him beat.
There's been another name that's been front and center tonight at the Bell Center.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Hernish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman.
We're a team.
Mic on now?
Awesome.
Why don't we have Qatar as a drop?
Well, because there's only a few special occasions a year I get to play it. As every time the Montreal Canadiens have played the Golden Knights since they traded Tomas Tatar away.
Oh, you could find other places because to play it?
He's always good against Vegas.
You have other drops in there that you don't play all the time.
He's good against a lot of teams, but
that's fair point.
He is leading the Canadiens in points.
He's a point a game player that didn't work out here in Vegas.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, what's better in that drop? Is it the final tata, or is it Tomas?
Oh, it's definitely the Tomas.
Is it? Yeah. I feel like it is too. I feel like that's the underrated part of that drop.
Yeah, I mean, that kid is a legend now. Like, that will forever be, anytime people think of Tomas Tatar, that will be what they associate it with.
I wish that guy could follow me around and be my hype guy.
Ryan, the Hockey Guy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
No.
It's not good.
It's too long.
I need a name like Tomas
Tatar.
Exactly. Yeah. Right there.
Two syllables. Well, you got Wallace.
We're live today.
Ryan Wallace.
Okay, this is getting bad.
Yeah, I think you need to contact that guy, and he could probably come up with something better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to pay him in Canadian.
Of course, yes.
to be my hype guy.
He might just call you Hockey the Guy or something. I don't know. He'd find something clever.
I don't know. I think I might change my name to Tomas Tatar. Just so I can walk around and play that as I walk into buildings.
It could be Ryan Tatar.
Nah,
it doesn't work.
It's got to be Tomas.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
I think you're underappreciating this guy's skill level. I think he could make it work.
I think he was attempting to emulate the Canadiens broadcaster. Because whenever you listen to a Canadiens game or watch a Canadiens game and Tatar scores a goal, either that or maybe now the Canadiens broadcaster is attempting to emulate him.
Chicken or the egg?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
We don't know.
I think people up there might know. They might have been listening to him longer.
You know, I want to give it to the kid.
You know what we have to do? We got to get Stu Cowan back on the show. There's no reason to, because the Golden Knights have already played the Montreal Canadiens twice this year, but Stu's awesome.
But there's always a reason to, because it's Stu Cowan.
Well, yeah, he's good.
I'm saying there's no, like, hockey reason to do it, but there is a just good reason to do it, because Stu Cowan is fantastic.
Yes.
And he just eviscerates the Canadian organization. Because he just doesn't care, and it's great. But I think that if we wanted to really find out what the answer is, was it the kid or was it the broadcast booth? We'll probably get that answer from Stu Cowan. He's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens.
All right. So, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
I think what we've decided is I need to get that as a drop.
Yes.
Yes.
Please work on that over the course of our 10 days off. Ish.
Seven of which I will not be here. Actually, eight of which I will not be here for. Nice.
So just so everyone's aware, the Golden Knights are going to play tomorrow night, and then the All-Star break is officially going to start, and then after that, the Golden Knights are coming out of their are going into their bye week. So there will be a chunk of time in which I will not be on the show, and there's going to be a chunk of time in which Frank's not going to be on the show together.
Yes,
we're correct. Not going to be on the show together.
Yeah. You'll be taking off a little more time than me, but I'll put in a couple of days there that I'm not going to be there. And Chris is just leaving the country.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's going to make sure that he's not available.
Chris Chapman will not exist for like 12 days. It's great.
You may see me on Twitter a little bit posting stuff from Japan.
This is a full disclaimer for all the people that love it when we talk about our vacations, because we get so many of them. When I leave...
You know who you are.
When I leave on Wednesday, I'm going to tweet out a disclaimer on Twitter. It's going to put it out there. Everything that I tweet between now and when I return is going to be vacation related. So you can tune out. You can unfollow me for the week if you need to. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's up to you. Your call. But just understand, zero hockey tweets are coming your way. Absolutely zero.
You're going to be Ryan the vacation guy.
I am Ryan the chillin' on vacation guy. Yep.
Now, I will put out the disclaimer that I may still tweet about sports because there is a chance I will become Chris the sumo guy.
That's fun.
While I am in Japan, because while I'm on my vacation, the first Grand Sumo tournament of the year is taking place in Tokyo, and we are attempting to get tickets for that.
Have you seen sumo wrestling live before?
I have. When they brought it to Mandalay Bay.
I saw it when it was there, too. It was interesting.
Akebono was there, and I can't remember the other Hawaiian guy, but there were two American guys who have become like Yokozuna, which is like the peak of the mountain, basically.
Yes, yes. For WWE fans, it's Yokozuna was a name, but it actually means something in sumo wrestling. Yes. It's actually the champion.
I want to see a video of you eating dinner with some sumo wrestlers.
I wish.
I think that
those guys,
awesome.
Those guys, from what I've been told,
a lot of rice.
Yes, but sumo wrestlers are like rock stars.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like they walk on a different cloud than everyone else in Japan.
You're Chris Chapman. You walk on a different cloud than literally
everybody.
I
dropped with the cleaners today. Don't you know who I am? No,
I didn't do that. Did you really?
No.
I was going to ask you, how's the suit?
I got it.
You did?
You got the suit.
Wow. I got the suit, yes.
Oh.
It's all because of our show.
I think so. I think she
listens. Did we talk about it? I don't even remember if we talked about it.
I don't think so.
On Twitter, though.
Yes. Because I was asking for
etiquette. He was on Twitter, Facebook. He was all over social media.
He was on every social media.
Because I wasn't sure.
He was like, people, tell me what to do. Do I get a lawyer? Do I do this? Do I do that? And they're like, hey, well, you know who that guy is? We better do something for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
friends with William Carlson. Yes.
By the way, so I did get the suit, and I did not have to pull the don't you know who I am line because I don't think that would have worked very well. But
hold on. I just want to live in a world for a second where you do pull that line. So I'm going to be like, Chris, I don't know. I'm not sure, man. I don't know what happened to your suit. How would you pull the don't you know who I am? What would you say?
Well, I would say I need that suit because I'm a very important person in this community.
I've never seen you before.
Well, then you don't pay attention to hockey. You don't pay attention to the Golden Knights because I am.
Dare you a player?
I'm an active voice associated with the Golden Knights.
You said I'm not paying attention. I'm not. I'm not seeing things. Your voice. What?
Well, my voice is very distinct.
Yeah, no, not really. Who are you?
This is exactly why Ryan wins these arguments for the play of the day and yes. Night of the week and that kind
100%.
Of stuff. Because your argument's really, I mean, don't you know who I am? I am a VIP in this community.
Yes.
I am somebody. I cover the hottest ticket, the biggest event in this city. I am the guy in the locker room that brings the information to everybody, not just, you know hockey?
No. This is what you do, Chapman. You walk in, you're like, hey, listen, they were -2. Oh, you're the guy that asked Gerard Gallant about that. I totally get it now. That's how you do it.
Now, I will say this. I will not be going back to the cleaners despite the fact that they did find my suit because I did not like the way that they handled the situation. And I'm not a yeller when I deal with people. Like, I'm not the guy who – I tend to be a little less meek or a little more meek, I should say.
You were meek right now. It's so, like, don't you know who I am,
yes,
sort of?
So,
I'm kind of somebody.
When I went to the cleaners, they had the suit, but they never called me to tell me that they had it. So I had to go in there on my own and find out. Like, she told me she got it Saturday. I'm like, well, today it's Monday afternoon. Why am I now walking into your store, unbeknownst to me, that you already have my suit?
Yeah, they had a couple more days that they could have relost it.
Yes, exactly.
So the Golden Knights allowed 3 goals in the first period again.
What else is new?
And Chris Chapman.
You found your suits.
Chris Chapman is not old yeller.
I can't wait to look at Twitter to see how many people are angry at us for spending 10 minutes on
your suit.
Oh,
they're not listening anymore. They're gone.
over or under 5 nasty tweets?
I don't know. Like, I'm banking on people just not knowing that we're on today. I don't know. There's nothing. There's literally nothing right now on Twitter. So either people have come around to us having vacation and talking about suits, or they're not listening. And
maybe they're fascinated with story time with Chris this time.
You know what? Actually, while we're on the topic of that.
Yes.
We've left a lot of people hanging for a long time about your nickname, Magnum.
Yes.
So real quick, tell the story. Then we got to get into
hockey,
recapping the game.
Three
in
goals
Montreal.
In the first period.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's kind of the recap.
Okay. We'll have about 4 or 5 minutes left for us.
So it's not as cool as people think. I'm not named after a candy bar or anything like that.
Way to sell the story. Yes. Make sure that anybody who is still listening that they're gone now. Yeah, this is going to be a really bad story.
Here you know who I am. Yeah. It's boring.
It's actually a pretty interesting story. So. Many, many years ago, when I started in this business, I had an affinity for Hawaiian shirts.
Yes.
I used to wear Hawaiian shirts. Actually, I still have
I just remembered the story.
Yes. I actually have quite a few. And I still wear them from time to time. Once in a while, I'll wear one to a hockey game. I'm a very colorful person.
Like
when you see me at the games, I might wear a pink shirt. I might have a bright suit on, a purple velour jacket. So
shoes, you're big on shoes and socks. Too.
I am big. I have sushi socks. I have socks with sloths on them. So like I have.
Now those aren't edible socks, right?
No, they are not.
Pictures of sushi.
Yes, pictures of sushi.
Well, with you, you know, you gotta clear things up.
I will eat almost anything. So when I started in radio, I showed up to work one day wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and our general manager, who is no longer our general, Tony Benici, who was our former general manager here at Lotus Broadcasting. He came up to me and he stopped me in the hall. I had a baseball cap on and a Hawaiian t-shirt or a Hawaiian shirt. And he says, you know, you look an awful lot like Magnum P.I. today.
You didn't have the short shorts on, did you?
No.
Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Did not have those.
Because the original Magnum kind of did.
Yes, he did. He also drove a very nice car. So
well, your car is nice.
Well, at the time it wasn't. I was driving an old beat up Saturn at the time. So he says, you know, you look like Magnum P.I. And I tell the program director, John Hansen, who I think is in Minnesota now, and he comes. I tell him the story, and he goes, guess what? You now have an on-air nickname. We're going to call you Magnum. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, it's cool. I wish I had. He's like, John Hansen's boring. I wish I had a cool nickname that I could use on the air. So it stuck for 15 years or however long it's been since I started working here at Lotus Broadcasting, and I guess that's why I'm Magnum, and I've kind of held on to it, and I like it because I was a big fan of the TV show when I was a kid, and I still watch the new show that they make.
Do you like the new show?
It's not as good as the original.
Okay.
But, I mean.
And there you have it.
Yes, there you have it.
Story time with Chris Chapman.
Has now come to an end, boys and girls.
All right, so the Golden Knights gave up 3 first period goals again.
Not a good start.
Not a great start.
Three on nine shots.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly good. Now, it wasn't an absolute disaster in the first period. It's not that the Golden Knights got completely skated out of the building. They did have chances. They didn't convert. Pete DeBoer, after the game, said it was about execution. Plain and simple. We had some chances. We didn't put them in the net. They had some chances. They scored.
And some bad puck luck that they mentioned as well. The one that went off Theodore's stick and certain things.
Yes, but he didn't say puck luck. And I like that. I like that he didn't reduce it to the cosmos. He didn't reduce it to
the hockey gods.
Yeah, the hockey gods. Like, puck didn't bounce our way. Like, we had looks. We had chances. We just didn't execute. And that's something that can be fixed. It's something that can be work toward. Now, I will talk about, and good friend Sinbin.Vegas Ken Bulkey had a story today about some of the changes that were made for the Golden Knights in terms of their penalty killing. And it was an observation that I had during the game, and I actually reached out to Ken. We talked about it a little bit during the game, but the Golden Knights on the penalty kill are going to be more passive through the neutral zone, where they were more aggressive in the neutral zone and into the offensive zone, trying to forecheck the defensemen into making mistakes in their own zone. So the Golden Knights wouldn't necessarily really try to clog up the blue line in order to prevent zone entries there. They would try to prevent their zone entries or the zone entries from the attacking team in their own zone. So what Pete DeBoer has them doing is they're a little bit more stacked along the blue line. So they've got 3 guys along the blue line. They've got 1 guy around center ice, and they're really not working to pressure hard in those areas. Once the puck is in the zone, that's when the Golden Knights are going to be more aggressive. They're not going to stay in that tight, compacted box. But they are going to be a little bit more passive in the neutral zone in order to try to clog some things up and draw some offsides and prevent easy zone entries. So you want to look at tactical change number one, that would be it.
And they've been working on the penalty kill and the power play quite a bit from what we've seen in the reports going on right now in their as they get two practices getting ready for the Boston game.
Yeah, and another thing from Pete DeBoer today out of his media scrum were updates on both Cody Glass and William Karlsson. These are kind of the two big ones, obviously the important ones. Cody Glass is on the trip. William Karlsson, Cody Glass are going to take this 10-day period to rest up, try to get better, rejuvenate. And DeBoer is going to give us more information as we get back from the break. However, he expects both guys to be pretty close. So that'll give you a little bit of a timeline, I think, on William Karlsson. Week to week, probably leaning more toward two-ish weeks, 2.5 weeks, as opposed to longer than that. And Cody Glass, it's good to know that he's getting close, because with Cody Glass and William Karlsson available, that's when I think we're really going to see what Pete DeBoer wants to do and how he envisions this lineup being a four-line team. Is it going to be two scoring lines and two lines that are going to shut teams down and try to win, you know, 50%, 55, 60% of their shifts? Or are we looking at maybe three scoring lines and one shutdown line in the fourth line? So having every tool available, I think, is really when we're going to start to see what Pete DeBoer wants and has in mind in terms of the lineup. But again, a couple of little tweaks here, some tactical changes, and you start to get an idea of what he wants this team to do, at least on the penalty kill.
And again, when we're talking about the game against Montreal that was on Saturday, everybody wants the 2 points in it, but DeBoer was certainly happy with the way that the team continued to fight. The 2 goals in the second period, then they fall down 2 goals once again, but 2 goals in the last 2 minutes of the game. You can kind of say they stole the point. Would it have been great to get the 2 points? Absolutely. But by getting a point in that game, as far down as they were, it did show a lot. Now they have Boston coming up. By the way, just to remind everybody, we will be at Twin Peaks on the Strip tomorrow. Abbreviated show, 3 to 3:30, because at 3:30 we will be on the air with the pregame show. Is the game tomorrow in Boston is at 4 p.m., so come on down and join us there.
Always fun when you come on down to Twin Peaks, so that's where we're going to be. Now, you look ahead to Boston. You look at this game, right? Here are the Golden Knights. I talked about it on the post-game show, 60 minutes. Just play for 60 minutes. Even if it's not 60 minutes, don't let the first 20 minutes take you out of a game. And honestly, I mean that more than anything. Like, I really don't care if they play a full 60 minutes. I want them to play a solid first 20 minutes. I don't want the first period to take them into a spot where Shea Theodore's got to play close to 30 minutes just to get back into the game, which is what happened against Montreal. I don't want to be in a position, if you're the Golden Knights or you're a fan of the Golden Knights, where they have to scramble and scrap and fight just to try to salvage a point. Because they get one more point in Boston, it's a semi-successful road trip, especially when you kind of consider the fact that Gerard Gallant was relieved of his duties, Pete DeBoer came in, and all the craziness that has surrounded this team over the last 7-ish days. Now, that all being said, it's vitally important that the Golden Knights get out and play with the right intensity and they get in front of the game against Boston.
And especially when you consider, too, that you figure that the Bruins are going to have a chip on their shoulder. They just blew a 3-goal lead themselves yesterday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're not going to be happy about that. They had the 3-0 lead, then they give up 4 consecutive goals. They lose the game against Pittsburgh. Not a good taste in the mouth of the Boston Bruins right now.
Well, no, and it's still... I mean, the Penguins are just one of those teams that can put goals up on you. And I don't know that there's really any shame, so to speak, in losing to the Penguins when you're up 3-0. I mean, they're a team that can find the back of the net, especially now with Sidney Crosby back. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the Boston Bruins are not going to be too thrilled with their last performance, and they're going to look to try to make an example out of the Golden Knights. Boston always plays Vegas hard. It's a tough matchup for the Golden Knights. So, I think kind of the biggest question going into it is Marc-Andre Fleury. And another thing that came out of DeBoer's press conference today is quite simply the Golden Knights don't know yet if Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be made available for the Boston game. Because Marc-Andre Fleury was elected to the All-Star game because he is electing not to go to the All-Star game. He has to sit out. He has to be quote-unquote suspended for one game. Either it's the game right into the break or the game coming out of the break. So do you sit Marc-Andre Fleury against the Boston Bruins? I think if you had maybe one or two more points on this road trip, you probably do. But I think the fact that the Golden Knights have only secured 3 points out of a possible six right now, I think that that's probably more reason to play Marc-Andre Fleury against Boston. And then you have him sit the game coming out of the break, give him a little bit of extra time. But that's just me. I think that Fleury plays against Boston. That's my gut going into this game.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling I think I'm on the same page with you there, especially and nothing against Halak, but Tuukka Rask isn't playing for the Boston Bruins. We know that he's out to at least after the All-Star break, and he is a quality goaltender. So, you know, he's one of the best in the league when he's on, and more often than not, he's been on this year for the Bruins.
Yeah, for sure. And there's Halak's been really good in his time with Boston. So it's going to be a test for the Golden Knights. It's going to be interesting to see if a little bit more wrinkles show themselves in terms of what Pete DeBoer wants this team to do. You know, practice is at a premium right now for the Golden Knights. Every time they get to practice, every time they go through some film, expect some of those things to make their way into a game. However, before you start overreacting if it doesn't work out or if the Golden Knights look out of sync, understand that they're trying new things. And when you try new things, it's always easy to do it in practice because no one's defending against you. Unfortunately, in a game, there's another team that wants to do what they want to do. So it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress, and we talked about it. DeBoer talked about it being a work in progress after the last game, but understand there's a little bit of a grace period that's needed, and patience is going to be needed. And I understand that's a hard ask as a fan, simply because you make the coaching change because you want to get results immediately, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and something tells me that Pete DeBoer might be the busiest coach during the All-Star break and bye week coming up.
Yeah, I would think so. That would make some sense, yep.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have our Oyo Hotel and Casino Play of the Day. We'll give you our results from Night of the Week. And we'll also try to look at some of the news around the NHL because, believe it or not, there is an awful lot of stuff going on. A lot of other teams playing as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman. In the studio on this Martin Luther King Day holiday. If you have the day off, hope you're enjoying your three-day weekend.
You a big A$AP Rocky fan?
A$AP Rocky?
Yep.
Can't say I'm a big fan since I'm not really familiar that much.
Go ahead.
Are you?
I was just asking.
I'm just asking if you are.
I like to be eclectic.
I got nothing wrong with that.
I know.
I'm more eclectic than a lot of people give me credit for.
It's very true.
So, you know. All right. So, we have the night of the week and the play of the day. Where should we go first?
Well, I don't want to. Let's just do play of the day first. Get your Patrick Kane garbage out of the way, and then we can get into night of the week.
All right, by the way, I have no say in what these plays are, so it's not my Patrick Kane garbage.
It is your Patrick Kane garbage.
All right, Oyo Hotel and Casino, home of the 24/7$2 beers. And remember, before and after all Vegas Golden Knights games, $5 buckets of 5 beers, the Oyo Hotel and Casino play of the day.
All right, so I guess it's my time to shine, huh?
There it is.
All right, well.
There it is.
We can start with the play of the day. We'll start with the play that finished third.
What were you doing just now?
I was trying to find the actual tweet on Twitter. So it was kind of, and Frank will like the reference. It's kind of like the Monty Python skit where they do the Spanish Inquisition, which, by the way, is not very funny when you're married and you bust out the "I wasn't expecting the Spanish Inquisition."
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
But it's when Cardinal Jimenez tells the other Cardinal, Bigglesworth, to take over for him, and the guy is completely lost. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Anyway.
Did they put you in the comfy chair?
Oh, the comfy, and poke me with pillows.
Go ahead.
Ryan is completely lost.
It's great to see Ryan lost for a
change.
Who hates
fun now, Ryan?
Me, this is not fun for me. No,
this is, in my opinion, way better than The Office.
So the play that finished third was from the Carolina Islanders game. They went to the eighth round of a shootout where the winning goal was scored by a player.
Go ahead.
Who was making his return to the Carolina Hurricanes, a guy who you are familiar with. Mm-hmm. He was once the captain, because I know that's where you're going.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He is no longer the captain because he joined the team midseason.
I want you to read the caption you put there.
All right. My captain, your captain.
It's not the captain.
Wins it for the Canes. He's my captain.
He's not the captain, though.
It says my captain. It doesn't say Canes captain.
It's not
says,
my captain.
It says my captain, your captain.
It's like the old poem.
Justin Williams wasn't a captain for the Kings. He's not my captain. What are you talking about?
Listen, he's everybody's captain. No, he is the guy.
Mr. Game 7. He's not a captain
anymore.
He is
the guy.
Okay. He was captain of the Surge.
That's exactly it. Without Justin Williams.
He would have never thought that.
No, I was about to say it. He is the guy who started the storm surge, and he got to lead the team yesterday because he scores the winning goal. 22% of the vote. My captain, everybody's captain, Justin Williams.
In round number 8, scores dead center. That's hockey, baby.
Oh. I have a ruptured eardrum. I can hear Colbert all the way down here in Raleigh. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Okay, it's the Islander captain, Anders Lee. James Reimer with a chance to seal an incredible story. He does! Hey!
So I guess you could say the former captain beat the current captain since it was Anders Lee that got shut down there.
What an awful goal for Thomas Greiss to give up. Seriously. Next.
All right. So the play that finished second.
Travesty.
Was an unbelievable pass.
Absolute disaster that this
by,
is second.
By Sidney Crosby. He finds create a player. Teddy Bluger.
Yeah, that guy doesn't exist.
Bluger gets the goal, but this play is all Sidney Crosby. I lied. Actually, Bluger intercepted the puck coming out of the penalty box to set it up. But I wanted to emphasize Sidney Crosby's behind-the-legs pass, finishing second on the day with, I believe it's 34% of the vote, Sidney Crosby.
No shots on goal on that power play. The Bruins missed the net 5 times. Bluger back. Letang with one wide. Finesse in front. Score! Beautiful pass from Crosby. It's Bruger roofing one. 3-2.
This is where Teddy Bluger comes out of the penalty box, steals the puck, and now it's a 3-on-2 back the other way. Letang jumps in looking for Crosby, and then a between-the-legs pass right to Bluger in front, and the Penguins down one.
I mean, tremendous anticipation by Sidney.
So he goes backhanded between his own legs.
Plays it off the boards.
Past Tory Krug, right on the tape of Teddy Bluger. It's also the 8th point in 4 games since returning from his injury for Sidney Crosby. He's got 3 goals, 5 assists, including an overtime game winner. And he might have actually had more points in the decade than Patrick Kane if he wasn't hurt. So there's always that little disclaimer. It should have been this play. I mean, clear, like Teddy Bluger doesn't exist. Like, he's not a real person. And Sidney Crosby just got him a goal in the NHL. So let's be honest.
They've gone pretty deep on their depth chart for the Pittsburgh Penguins since everybody on the roster has been hurt this year.
It's literally just guys.
I don't know. Is Lehigh Valley, is that their AHL team? Or is that Philadelphia?
It's Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
So they are literally playing with AHL guys.
Yes.
and create a player from NHL 20.
Right.
And they managed to have a great record when Crosby was out.
They had the best record in the league while he was out.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't make any sense. But this should have been – this is the play that I voted for, mainly because it's the best play of the game.
By the way, I did find it a little confusing, your description of it, when you said he went behind the legs instead of between the legs. So I was kind of wondering, it's like, I've heard behind the back before and I've heard between the legs. I've never heard behind the legs before.
He did that too.
Whoa. Okay. Before we even get to the play that won, because this is ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
It's a secondary assist.
Yes.
They count.
But it's a milestone.
No,
it's a milestone.
Stop it.
It's a milestone.
Stop it. This is so wrong.
So we should go through every player in NHL history now and figure out how many
points they got.
No,
I'm talking about this play. You set it up as the play is Patrick Kane's 1,000th point, right?
It is his 1,000th point.
1,000th point.
A milestone. Fourth Blackhawk in history to do it.
He didn't even make a play.
He got an assist.
Third fastest American to ever.
But he didn't make a play.
U.S. born citizen.
He didn't make a play.
Actually, Ryan Carpenter, former Vegas Golden Knight, was part of it.
Yes.
He had the primary assist.
He made the play.
But Kane
still gets
the point.
Ryan Carpenter made the play.
Brandon Saad, who once again has a pulse in the NHL because he's back with Patrick Kane.
Wow.
Are you going to take a shot at Ryan Carpenter again?
No, he just talked about how Ryan Carpenter
made
a play.
I'm waiting for him. I mean, even Kane's getting it done with Ryan Carpenter.
I know. He's got that guy, Ryan Carpenter, on his line. He's still finding a way to score. It's crazy.
Carpenter's the first one to go over there.
Brandon Saad finally has a pulse again. Jeez.
All right. So here is my play, Frank's play.
You voted for this?
Yes, I did.
What the heck is wrong with you?
The great 88, buddy.
I wouldn't go that far.
I
wouldn't go that far. Patrick Kane, with 44% of the vote, becomes just the 10th American-born player in NHL history to reach 1,000 points.
He did nothing.
He got a point.
He did nothing.
He saw the tic-tac goal coming. Okay. I mean, behind the net,
has that hockey vision,
1,000 points in 953 games, more than a point-a-game player, Hall of Fame career, 3 Stanley Cups. By the way, lost in yesterday's game, Jonathan Toews, 799 points. Almost double milestones in the same game.
This would have turned into the Chicago Blackhawks insider show if that had happened.
It already is. What are you talking about? What is wrong with you guys? He passed the puck from behind the net to Ryan Carpenter, who made the seam pass to Brandon Saad, who scored. It has nothing to do with what Patrick Kane did on the play.
We can't change the rules of how points are scored in the league. It's his
1,000th point. It's not about that. He didn't make a play.
We had something for a milestone goal last week. I don't remember what it was, or a milestone point. I don't remember who it was, what was our play. But that ended up winning, too, because it was a milestone.
Milestones are big.
They are
now, in the KHL, that would not have been an assist because they only have one assist per goal.
Which is probably a fair thing.
My goodness. What is wrong with you guys?
Hey, wait. It's the listeners voted it.
Yeah, 44%.
We didn't win it.
I know.
Almost
50%. The problem is I didn't retweet it and make the case for Sidney Crosby or point out what a bad human being Patrick Kane is.
So Ryan for the defense didn't go to court that day?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I was a little bit busy this morning. I
guess it's a good thing you were planting trees, right?
Saving a world. Saving a world.
I like that. I commend you for that.
It was good. It was fun.
Ryan saving the world?
However, you saving the world does not change that Patrick Kane hit 1,000 career points yesterday.
Yes, on a play in which he did literally nothing.
Well, I wouldn't say literally nothing.
He did essentially nothing.
He had assist.
He did about as much as Jimmy Garoppolo did last night.
Had wonderful vision. And Jimmy Garoppolo, also a winner.
I know.
He's going to the Super Bowl.
It sucks, man.
Oh, that made Frank's day. What a great...
Didn't make mine.
Great. I saw Frank's tweet. Great day for Frank. Aaron Rodgers loses, Blackhawks win,
and Osaka wins at the Australian Open.
Osaka wins in the first round of the Australian Open.
It was a tremendous day.
It's almost the greatest day of his life.
The only thing that would have made it better is if number 12 actually cried like I really thought he was going to.
Wow.
I think the 49ers actually gave him a game ball after that game.
Hold on. I have a question for you, Frank, because I know how much you love Aaron Rodgers. Do you play on loop Aaron Rodgers from draft day? Like, just to make yourself feel better? Like, the stages of dejection that Aaron Rodgers had the day that he was drafted into the NHL. Do you ever watch that just to make yourself feel better?
It's not a bad idea, but no, I haven't done that.
Huh, surprising.
I really did think he was going to cry, though.
Wow.
The interceptions were awesome. I mean, I hated the one pass that Richard Sherman got burned on, but then when he intercepted him towards the end, I just made up for it all that more. To think that you're actually going to get back and get close to it, and then just have it taken away again. Ah, it was a beautiful thing.
What happened to you? Who hurt you, Frank?
The list is way too long.
Lots of Green Bay Packers, apparently.
Yes. A lifetime of watching those ugly uniforms dominate my beloved Chicago Bears, whose team I love and ownership I absolutely detest. All right, so Oil Hotel and Casino play of the day. Oil Hotel Casino, 10 wings for $10 at Hooters. And, of course, don't forget Hooters inside the Oil Hotel and Casino.
I will be honest. I was pretty close to putting Raheem Mostert's fourth touchdown as the play of the day just to see how many people hated the Green Bay Packers.
I don't think you're going to get a lot of hatred there. Most people seem to love them. For some reason, they jump on their bandwagon.
This is a West Coast town, though. The 49ers are big here now, I think.
I don't know. Maybe I just have way too many Packer fans on my social media then, because everybody I know seems to love them.
Well, speaking of love, I think everybody loves Mark Stone.
Hey, I'm going to take my victory lap.
Yes, yes. Me and Frank get to take ours, and you. Well, we were both right for the play of the day.
Not the play of the day. Okay, let's be real here. So Frank and I made the compelling argument for Mark Stone, and then Chris Chapman made the compelling argument for Braden McNabb, and then the fourth goal of the game comes on a 2-on-1 in which Braden McNabb gets burned at the blue line, thanks in part to Tomasz Nosek, but hey, it works for the narrative. So people think that jinxes exist for some strange reason, and if they do, you, sir, jinxed Braden McNabb by making the case for him and speaking about him. So, clearly there was only one choice.
Well, according to the listeners, there was only one choice.
Right.
And with 78% of the vote, Mark Stone, the runaway winner for Night of the Week. By the way, Brady did get some love on Twitter from some of the listeners. A lot of people saying he here we go. Here's one. Braden is underrated for all the things he does as a defenseman and winger of flower. He's unnoticeable by the fan base because he is not a top scorer. I voted for Braden and Riley Smith, another underrated player.
We did get a couple of Pete DeBoers.
And we got a couple of Gallant.
We got a couple of Gerard Gallant. So all in all, I was right.
Well, Frank was right, too.
Well, we were right.
I got to stick up for Frank.
Yeah, that's fine.
He was right, too.
Hey, oh, by the way, and this is something that I've been thinking about for a while now, because I keep predicting that Nick Hague is going to score his first NHL goal.
Right.
And that is clearly the reason why he has not scored a goal. So I think potentially, and this is something, I'm not sure if I'm going to do it yet, but I think tomorrow, when I am tweeting about the game,
yes,
I'm going to either jinx everybody, or I'm going to tweet in the absence of putting anything out into the universe that could be construed as a jinx. So get ready for a puck was dropped as my commentary for the game.
Well, people that truly believe in jinxes probably thinks that you had something to do with Carlson getting hurt, too, because you predicted him for your night to shine every game along with Hague scoring a goal.
Or I was strong enough to look past a player that might have been playing with an injury and understanding how much grit and determination it took, and I wasn't going to write him off because he was playing hampered. I believed in his ability as a hockey player. Maybe that's what it says about me.
Right, and I agree with that assessment of it. But, mm-hmm. You know, it, like if we were on Facebook Live or something like that right now,
mm-hmm.
Look on your face, it showed sternness towards me, and I'm just saying people that believe in that jinx.
I mean, character.
I don't
buddy.
Believe in the jinx stuff myself.
I think it'd be funny if I spent an entire game tweeting updates in the absence of actually, like, I will not refer to any player by name. There was a shot on goal. It was saved. Could you imagine?
There's a shot. Found the back of the net. There's a score.
Somebody put a somebody scored a hockey goal.
I like it.
It's a bold strategy.
Do that tomorrow.
I think I might.
I think that'd be great.
It's very possible.
What better way to go into the break for you than that? And then after that goal, by the way, now there's no more hockey at all.
Exactly.
Not even the there's a shot, there was a goal.
There's a face-off.
All right. I propose you wait until the team returns so I'm sitting next to you in the press box when it happens so I can read some or hear some of the replies that you get to those tweets. Because I imagine between you and Tyler, I would probably spend more time laughing than I would watching the game.
Why don't you just come to Twin Peaks tomorrow?
I can't.
Ugh, okay.
I'm getting ready to go on vacation.
What do you mean can't?
I got to pack. I got to do some errands.
What are you doing tonight?
Going on vacation.
How long does it take you to pack?
Well, I'll tell you guys off the air.
All right.
That's weird.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up next, and we're going to find out what Chris is going to do, but we won't be telling you probably. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, wrapping it up on a holiday. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, wrapping it up on a Martin Luther King Day holiday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Frank Hernish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman all in the studio. You know, we talk frequently about player safety and whether or not the NHL is serious about it.
They're not.
Well, Matthew Perreault recently took a vicious hit from Virtanen. And after the hit, which was an elbow to the head, a pretty blatant to the elbow to the head, where there was nothing done to Virtanen for it, Perreault had this to say to the media.
You know, player safety, my like this is literally an elbow to the face to a guy that didn't have the puck. I see him coming, I brace for a hit. It was a late hit, I never had the puck, and he flicks his elbow to my face, and they're not going to do anything about it. So now I got to take matters in my own hand next time this happens, and I get to swing my stick across his forehead, and I shouldn't get suspended then. I don't really know what to say. I can't really protect myself there. If the league's not going to protect me, then I'm the smallest guy on the ice, so I can't really fight anybody. So the only thing I can do to defend myself is use my stick. So next guy that does that to me is going to get my stick. And I better not get suspended for it. That hit that I just suffered, they're not going to do anything about it. I mean, that's clear-cut elbow to the face to a guy that didn't have the puck. Like, he's just taking on a smaller guy. Like, if I was a bigger guy, he probably doesn't do that because, you know, I can beat him up. Like, he's not even going to fight anybody, so he's going to throw his elbow around. And he doesn't have to fight anybody, and the league's not going to do anything about it. So maybe now I should start running around with my elbows up and getting guys in the face, and then I don't have to answer and fight anybody, and I should be all right, right?
Some pretty strong comments there. By the way, that was actually about three different questions. I cut out the questions because it all it flowed together nicely. But essentially, he said, look, I can't do anything. The league's not going to protect me, so I'm going to take my stick because it's the only thing I have to defend myself because I'm not the biggest guy out there. He did kind of backtrack from that a little bit and said that he was emotional today, but I think he probably said that to not get fined or something. But I kind of have no problems with what he said because he's absolutely right. I mean, the shots that this guy takes, and some of the other guys around the league too, when there's like Gispy and Goons out there, they talk about player safety, and then they don't back it up.
Well, I mean, he was hit in the face with an elbow, and there was no suspension. So, I mean, you know, again, it absolutely should be a suspension. Like, you had a guy earlier this season get suspended for spitting, but guys aren't getting suspended for elbows to the head. And I think Matt Perreault is absolutely right. Like you want to say this? I have no issue with it. Of course, I hope he doesn't go out there headhunting. I hope he doesn't slash anybody in the face with his stick. I hope that he doesn't throw an elbow that's dirty. But if he did, the expectation that he has in his mind based on the lack of anything being done by player safety is that he won't get suspended. Is that it's okay. It's free game. Go ahead. Go ahead. You want to headhunt? You want to elbow somebody in the face? Go ahead. Because this organization, player safety in the NHL, doesn't exist. It's not real. It is a joke. And I'm thinking more players need to call it out as they see it. Because I think these quotes probably go a longer way than anything else.
Yeah, and it's not like it's an isolated incident. In a game against Philadelphia, he was absolutely obliterated and missed time because of it.
Yeah, it's a joke.
This is how 100% guys get a joke. Hurt.
And you talk about player safety, and even Zach Kassian talked about it. He said, you know what, now I know what is and isn't allowed, and I'm going to go out there and throw dangerous blindside hits just like Matt Tkachuk, and if I get suspended, then there's going to be an issue.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Join us tomorrow, Twin Peaks on the Strip. getting ready for the Vegas Golden Knights and the Boston Bruins, their final game before the All-Star break and the bye week. JT the Brick is up next. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Enjoy the rest of your evening.